And we are live here on the Fantrax YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok pages. Make sure I'm actually all set up here. I think my audio is a little off.
There we go. We're set. And set right there too. Sounds good. So every week I come on this podcast or on this stream, and I look at all the matchups, right? I actually do an article for Fantrax discussing this topic, you know, who's a spotlight for this week. Sometimes, you know, it's some fantasy football sleepers. Like last week, I hit on guys like Joshua Palmer, Rajee Rice. There's a couple other ones that were not obvious. Sometimes I talk about some very obvious guys at the end of the day because you might want to plug those guys into your DFS lineup. So I have a good mix of both things. We do it live here on Fantrax. If you're watching the stream, make sure you are following the Fantrax socials on all of our platforms. We're on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, probably somewhere else. Nick Scripp here talking week 8 spotlights. Going to play the intro video, so hang with me here if you're on TikTok. Let's get it. Okay, so again, we're looking at players who have a positive matchup that we want to spotlight for week 8. Could be due to them having a plus matchup in fantasy points per game and yardage allowed, combination of the two. Let's kick things off with Breece Hall, who faces the New York Giants, who allow the 8th most fantasy points per game to running backs and the 7th most rushing yards per game this season. Week 5 was the turning point for Breece Hall. He began to see an uptick in his usage, production, fantasy scoring. 3 very good things for a running back. He rushed the ball 22 times for a season high, 177 yards and a touchdown, caught 3 passes, scored 28.4 fantasy points as the RB3 in week 5. Then week 6, he continued to produce. He rushed the ball 12 times for 39 yards and a touchdown. Also had a season high receiving stat line of 5 receptions for 54 yards, scored 20.3 fantasy points. So in back-to-back games played, he's been a top 4 fantasy running back. He's also played 52% and 66% of the snaps the last 2 games, which is a good sign because all of the prior games he was under 50% of the snaps. Then he got a week 7 rest. It's a plus matchup. We like Breece Hall this week. Same matchup. Let's talk about Darren Waller. Make sure you pay attention to his injury status. I think he's been dealing with a hamstring issue, but he's been dealing with that hamstring issue pretty much all season, right? The Jets allow the most fantasy points per game to tight ends. And, you know, someone pointed out, hey, that's kind of skewed because the backup tight ends are scoring touchdowns, this and that. But the backup tight ends are doing it. I think Darren Waller can do it at the end of the day. Waller has had his usage and production trend up the last 3 weeks. He's earned 11, 7, and 8 targets and finished with 86, 43, and 98 receiving yards during that span. Across that 3-game stretch, Waller has scored the 3rd most fantasy points, earned the 3rd most targets, caught the 3rd most passes, and produced the 3rd most receiving yards. So Waller's been a top 3 option for fantasy football during the span. Monitor his issue, but if we're looking for an upside tight end, Darren Waller is just that. I want to talk about Calvin Ridley, who has been extremely frustrating, right? If you played him on Thursday last week, he absolutely burned you. The Steelers, though, allow the 2nd most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and the 8th most passing yards per game this season. It's been back-to-back bad scoring for Calvin Ridley, scoring under 7 fantasy points in both of those games. Week 7 was a frustrating sign of his usage with a season-low 4 targets. Ridley's had 2 big games this season. He's had 24.1 fantasy points and 20.6 fantasy points weeks 1 and 6, where he finished with 101 and 122 receiving yards in those games. He has earned 8 or more targets in 4 games this season. He's consistently played, you know, 80-plus percent of the snaps as well in 6 games. If there's a get-right player I'm going to pick in this article, he's one of 2 guys that I will eventually mention, but I do like Calvin Ridley this week. Christian Kirk's been more consistent with his production, but we've seen the big days out of Calvin Ridley, and when a guy has a season low in targets and has a bad day when he has a plus matchup the next week, I like him to bounce back. Have to talk about George Pickens, though, for sure. The Jaguars allow the 10th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and the second most passing yards per game this season. It's a great matchup. So this is the case, truly, of ride the hot hand for fantasy football when it comes to George Pickens, who's been on absolute fire. 6 catches on 10 targets for 130 receiving yards and a touchdown, 26.6 fantasy points in week 6. Then in week 7, with Deontay Johnson back in the mix, Pickens caught 5 passes on his 8 targets for 107 receiving yards and 15.7 fantasy points. So he's had really good weeks, back-to-back weeks, the last 2 games. 3 games over 100 receiving yards this season. That's the upside we know when it comes to George Pickens. He's the upside play you want in your lineups for week 8. Now here's where things get a little bit spicy. We talk about obvious picks, obvious guys to talk about. Here's a not-so-obvious guy to talk about for week 8, Devin Singletary. The Panthers allow the second most fantasy points per game to running backs and the second most rushing yards per game this season. In week 6, Damian Pierce rushed for under 40 yards for the 4th time this season through 6 appearances. He's been extremely inefficient, Damian Pierce. Pierce also played a season-low 33% of the snaps and touched the ball the same amount of times as Devin Singletary did, which was 13. Singletary, on the other hand, played a season-high 54% of the snaps and produced 62 total scrimmage yards in comparison to Damian Pierce's 34. Is there a change of the guard when it comes to the Houston backfield? They just had the bye week as well. So you see very often things start to trend in a certain direction, and then the bye week hits, we come back, and things are a little bit different. Keep in mind that Devin Singletary has touched the ball 216 and 228 times in Buffalo the last 2 seasons. So he's not just been a backup quarterback who is strictly a handcuff the last 2 years. He's actually been a guy that's been touching the ball pretty consistently. So if you're desperate for a running back play, I think there's worse options than Devin Singletary this week. Then we got Dak Prescott, who I want to mention. The Rams allow the 15th most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks this season. So it's not like an elite matchup, but after finishing as the quarterback 17 or worse through 5 weeks, Dak Prescott finished as the QB1 in week 6 for fantasy football. Dak threw 21 for 30 for 272 passing yards and a touchdown, and also rushed for a season-high 40 yards with a rushing touchdown. So we saw a little bit of upside on the ground from Dak Prescott. He threw a pair of touchdowns in week 2 and for 255-plus yards in 3 games this season. After missing time in 2022, Dak finishes the top as a top 10 quarterback in 5 of his 11 games last year after returning from injury. So we know he can do it, right? I think with a positive performance in week 6 before the Cowboys bye week, I think week 8 can be the trend that continues in the right direction for Dak Prescott. Another spicy guy to talk about, another guy who has been a backup running back, Cam Akers, faces the Packers this week. The Packers allow both the 3rd most fantasy points per game to running backs and the 3rd most rushing yards per game this season. Week 7 was the first time Cam Akers stepped into more of a prominent role as a Viking. He played a season-high 39% of the snaps and totaled 12 touches versus Alexander Mattison's 10 touches. Mattison still played 53% of the snaps, but this marked a season low for him in percent of snaps played. Akers outproduced Mattison 61-42 in scrimmage yards last week. Mattison has been inefficient with the volume he's had this season, and in week 7, it could be a sign that, hey, maybe we need to get Cam Akers more involved. Maybe we need to have this more of a split committee backfield. Is there a chance, though, that Cam Akers becomes the 1A to Alexander Mattison's 1B? I think there is that chance. Akers rushed for over 100 yards in his final 3 games for the Rams back in 2022. So we've seen some good days out of Cam Akers. I know he's had a bunch of turmoil, but signs are pointing in the direction that this could be more of a committee, maybe even a situation where Cam Akers is more of the lead back than Alexander Mattison. Same matchup. I want to talk about Christian Watson, who I've historically not been a big fan of, in all honesty, but I think people are really questioning putting him in lineups right now. The Vikings allow the 7th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers this season. Christian Watson, he returned to action in week 4, and he scored double-digit fantasy points in 2 out of the 3 games he's played since being back, but he's yet to have that big, splash week, right? The encouraging signs, though, are 91 receiving yards on just 3 catches in week 5. Upside. 12 targets across his last 2 games, some decent usage, and he's played 84% and 88% of the snaps the last 2 games. So we have some pretty decent signs for the sophomore. As a rookie last season, Watson finished with over 100 receiving yards three times, and he scored 7 touchdowns during the span of weeks 10 through 13. So Watson has the upside. There's positive signs there. I think his first big week with Jordan Love is in this matchup against the Vikings. Next on the list, let's talk about Alvin Kamara. The Colts allow the 6th most fantasy points per game to running backs and the 12th most rushing yards per game. Since Alvin Kamara's return from suspension, if we look at weeks 4 through 7, he ranks for running backs number 3 in total fantasy points, number 7 in rushing yards, number 1 in targets, number 1 in receptions, and number 1 in receiving yards. The fact that Kamara is tied for the most running back targets right now overall this season says a ton. He missed 3 weeks and he's tied for number 1 for running backs and targets. He's had 2 games of 14 targets so far this season. The volume is there. The production's there. The fantasy scoring is there. It's a great matchup. So DFS, I'm loving Alvin Kamara this week. Maybe a little bit of a sleeper, but you know, I think he's been trending in the right direction. Kendrick Bourne, the Dolphins allow the 9th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers this season. He opened up the year week 1 catching 6 of his 11 targets for 64 yards and 2 touchdowns, 24.4 fantasy points. He kind of put us on notice, like, hey, this guy might be something. But then he went on to score under 9 fantasy points 4 straight weeks after. Week 6, though, Kendrick Bourne came back to life. He caught 10 of his 11 targets for 89 receiving yards and 19.3 fantasy points. Bourne followed that performance last week, scoring 16.3 fantasy points. He caught 6 of his 7 targets for 63 yards and a touchdown. He's produced back-to-back weeks of flex-worthy fantasy points. It's just as simple as that. He's also played 93% of the snaps in back-to-back games. So looking at this matchup, we know the Dolphins' offense is good. We know that, you know, the Patriots are going to have to keep up with them. And I think with the signs pointing that, hey, maybe Kendrick Bourne's a little bit more sticky, he might be a decent flex play in week 8. All right, Drake London faces the Titans, who allow the 8th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and the 11th most passing yards per game this season. Drake London opened up the season. Super concerning volume. He only had 1 target in week 1. But if we look at strictly weeks 2 through 17, he's tied for 15th in targets during that span. So during the span of that sample size, top 15 in targets, I think that's pretty good for the wide receiver position because we know how deep it is. 32 teams in a league, top 15. Math adds up pretty nicely to me. London earned 9 and 12 targets in weeks 5 and 6, finishing with 78 and 125 receiving yards, which meant wide receiver 19 and wide receiver 6 fantasy finishes. Desmond Ritter has attempted 37-plus passes in 3 games this season and has thrown for over 300 yards in 2 of his last 3 games. So positive signs for Drake London to have a good week against the Titans. Let's go to Jalen Hurts, and I feel like I don't have to talk about Jalen Hurts in depth here. We obviously know good quarterback, good for fantasy football, but again, we want to cover some guys that are obvious here for DFS purposes. The Commanders are the 2nd best fantasy matchup for quarterbacks this season. Obviously, he's in your fantasy football lineups. Across the last 3 weeks, Hurts has finished as the quarterback 3, quarterback 2, and quarterback 5 for fantasy football, and he's been a top 9 fantasy quarterback for 6 straight weeks. 2 weeks of over 300 yards passing, 2 weeks of multiple passing touchdowns, 72 rushing yards in week 5 shows what he could do on the ground, and he has 6 rushing touchdowns this season. All signs of positive fantasy football production. Jalen Hurts trails Josh Allen in total fantasy points for the top spot for quarterbacks in fantasy football by 3.2 points through 7 weeks. So DFS, I might pay up for Jalen Hurts. Let's talk Terry McLaurin, same matchup. The Eagles allow the 3rd most fantasy points per game to wide receivers this season. Terry McLaurin has earned quality targets from Sam Howell across the last 4 weeks. He's had game examples of 10, 11, and 9 targets during that span. Also receiving yard stat lines of 86, 81, and 90 yards. That's great the last 4 weeks. During that span of games, wide receiver 8, wide receiver 25, and wide receiver 20 finishes are 3 good examples. So the Commanders are going to have to try to keep up with the Eagles' dominant offense, and it's probably not going to be with Brian Robinson on the ground. So I expect them to throw the ball a ton, and Terry McLaurin has been well-connected with Sam Howell, and he's been producing. So in Halloween fashion, plug Scary Terry into your lineups. Amari Cooper, there might be, you know, some concern because it's P.J. Walker starting, and P.J. Walker has been very, very inefficient. He's been, you know, completing His completion percentage has been in like the low 50s range, I'm pretty sure. I think he, last time I checked, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Not great signs, but he's already had 108 receiving yards with P.J. Walker. And we look at this matchup against the Seahawks. They allow the 4th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and the 12th most passing yards per game this season. It was a down week 7 for Amari Cooper, but he did have a decent week 6 again with P.J. Walker. So I think the fact that he's going to get the targets, I think the fact that it's a quality matchup, I think the fact that he's already been over 100 receiving yards with P.J. Walker gives me a little bit more peace of mind than people are going to actually discuss and talk about. Zay Flowers, the rookie, got to talk about him. The Cardinals allow the 6th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers in the let's start it over. You talk so long sometimes that your words become a different language, and I don't even speak fluently a different language. Zay Flowers faces the Cardinals, who allow the 6th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and the 10th most passing yards per game this season. Zay Flowers paces the Ravens in targets with 54, which is 14 more than Mark Andrews, who did miss a game, but 14's more than a game, in my opinion. 3 weeks of double-digit targets, 3 weeks of over 70 receiving yards, 4 weeks of 14-plus yards per catch, and 2 weeks of 17-ish fantasy points are all positive signs for their first-round selection. Week 8 could be another day that he scores well for fantasy football, and I'm going to go out and say that it's going to be his best scoring week against the Cardinals. All right, Isaiah Pacheco faces the Broncos. The Broncos allow the most fantasy points per game to running backs this season and also the most rushing yards per game. In week 6 against the Broncos, they already faced them. Isaiah Pacheco rushed 16 times for 62 yards and, more importantly, caught a season-high 6 passes. Pacheco has scored 15-plus fantasy points in 4 of his last 5 weeks as the lead back for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he has a very safe floor. He's in one of the NFL's best offenses. It's a cake matchup. If he finds the end zone, it's going to be a huge week for Isaiah Pacheco. Let's talk about the same game running back position again, but with Javonte Williams. The Chiefs are not necessarily a plus matchup, but I do want to talk about Williams because he's trending in the right direction. Javonte rushed efficiently against the Chiefs in week 6, 10 attempts for 52 yards. Last week, he played a season-high 53% of the snaps and finished with season highs in both rushing attempts with 15 and rushing yards with 82. If the Broncos can keep this game from being a blowout and they allow him to rush the ball, I like him to continue trending up in the right direction in week 8. This can be a touchy subject for some people, but let's talk T. Higgins. The 49ers allow the 13th most fantasy points per game to wide receivers this season. T. Higgins has played just 51% and 54% of the snaps in weeks 4 and 5. He missed week 6, all due to rib injuries. Back in week 2, Higgins caught 8 of his 12 targets for 89 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns, which resulted in 28.9 fantasy points. Joe Burrow is going to need to use more than just Ja'Marr Chase against the 49ers, who are 5-2 right now. So getting Higgins going is going to be important. Higgins has scored under 5 fantasy points in his last 2 weeks. But again, this is due to that rib injury. He hasn't been playing the percent of snaps that he usually does. I like T. Higgins to bounce back in week 8. All right, let's talk DJ Moore. That's going to be Sunday Night Football. The Chargers allow the most fantasy points per game to wide receivers and also the most passing yards per game this season. Their backup, Tyson Bagent, who threw 21 for 29 with a touchdown last week against the Raiders, will also be the starter again with Justin Fields out. DJ Moore caught 8 of his 9 targets from the undrafted rookie for 54 yards, scoring 13.4 fantasy points last week. So it's a plus matchup. He's going to see good targets. He can do a lot with the ball in his hands. Don't be scared to play DJ Moore. Same game, I also mentioned Austin Eckler because he's been a bit down. The Bears allow the 7th most fantasy points per game to running backs this season. Since his return from injury, Austin Eckler has been bad for fantasy. It's just as simple as that, versus expectation. 10.2 and 5.6 fantasy points. Eckler opened up the season doing what Eckler does, 26.4 fantasy points. Then he missed the next 3 games and was the highest scoring running back last season. So if we're looking for a bounce back game, I talked about three guys on this podcast for bounce backs this week. Calvin Ridley, T. Higgins, Austin Eckler. I like all 3 of those guys to have bounce back weeks in week 8. That'll do it though for the YouTube and the Twitter streams for Fantrax Fantasy Football. Good luck in your matchups. I'll stick around on TikTok to answer some questions, but good luck this week, guys.